I'm tired of this stool. I thought I was going to be able to stand today. I got so much better during the week. And yesterday it all kicked in again and again. So if I make out some kind of a noise of surprise pain, it's because I'm celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. The ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle was known for having a great mind, and he wrote a great deal about his view of God, and he influenced the development of early theology probably more than any other philosopher did. But he got at least one thing wrong. He said, "Death appears to be the end of everything." And he also added that the one thing that he feared the most was death. Now, you know better than that, don't you? At least I hope you do. I hope everyone here knows better than that. That's one of the reasons we're here this morning, to celebrate the fact that he had victory over death. We know better than that. Aristotle had a condition called thanatophobia. Thanatophobia. It's a real condition. The definition is a fear of death or dying. And it is still diagnosed by psychiatrists even today. The origin of it also comes from the ancient Greeks. In their mythology, they had a minor character whose name was Thanatos. Thanatos personified death itself. Now, those who have thanatophobia, try to say that fast three times. Those who have this condition, this fear of death, if you even mention death to them, it can bring about crippling anxiety in them. It can affect them physically and mentally and emotionally. Physically, they get a stomach pain, they tremble, and they feel like they're being choked to death. Mentally, they feel like they're going crazy. They're so filled with anxiety, and they have gory thoughts. Emotionally, they feel terrified, and they want to run away. Now, as Christians, most of us would look at them and we'd say, "Really? Don't you know better than that?" And their answer is, no, they don't. They don't know better than that. And even if they do know better than that, they still suffer from this crippling phobia. Heaven forbid that there is anyone here today or anyone in your family who suffers from a fear of death. If you do, I want to invite you today, and I want to encourage you today, to give up your fear of death. Let go of it. Let go of it. Death is not the end of everything. Death is the beginning of everything good for those who are in Jesus Christ. Good. Thank you. Patty led the way. Appreciate that. We all know that life is a journey. And many people believe that the end of the journey is death. It's not. It's just part of the journey. There's more after death. I quoted this last week. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. There's an old American proverb that I like. It's from the Deep South. And it goes this way. If your time ain't come, not even a doctor can kill you. God is in control. He always has been, and he always will be. So don't worry about it. Besides that, just think about this. When you die, you won't have to put up with any more robocalls and telemarketers. Death is not necessarily a sad thing. In fact, have you ever noticed at a Christian funeral how much humor there is? When family and friends come together to celebrate a loved one's homegoing, yes, they grieve, but one of the ways that we grieve is to let go. And one of the ways we let go is to remember the good times and to remember the idiosyncrasies that some of our loved ones had. I guess when my time comes, you'll have a good laugh in my honor. Man, I've given you enough material, haven't I, Judy?
Yes,
yes. Stan Laurel said this. You know who Stan Laurel was? Stan Laurel said this. If any of you cry at my funeral, I will never speak to you again. Here's the headline. Jesus Christ defeated death. Hallelujah. He turned the entire order of the universe on its head. No one has ever done that. No one had ever done that. No one will ever do that again. He made it clear that death does not have the last word. God does. Amen. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, my grandfather died. I did not know my grandfather very well. And that was the first time in my life that I had been exposed to death. In those days, or at least in that community where they lived, the tradition was that the viewing was in the home, not in a church. When we arrived at his home, his coffin, his open coffin, was in the living room. I couldn't see the top. I could see his nose. That's all I could see. So I didn't really go up to the open casket. I just let it be. And there was a tradition in those days that after the people went to the viewing, they went to the kitchen and they ate. And I came to the conclusion that funerals make people hungry. I had never seen so much food in my entire life. I had such a good time. Maybe that was the beginning of my problem. I had such a good time eating that food. I couldn't wait for the next funeral. There was a service that was held in the living room, and the children were, we were allowed to skip it. We were sent to my grandfather's study with some games to play, and we were told to be quiet. Now, I could hear through the walls, and through the walls, I heard some very sad songs being sung. And when it was over, I thought, finally, we get to go home. No, that wasn't true. We got in the cars and we drove to a cemetery. And my mother took me by the hand and I discovered this large hole in the ground. And my mother took me by the hand and brought me to the edge of that hole. You could walk right up to it and you could look way down in that hole. Somehow I knew that my grandfather was going to get into that hole. And I pondered the whole thing, and I looked up at my mom, and I said, Mom, how's Granddad ever going to get out of there? And she just smiled. I simply did not understand. I was really puzzled by this whole process. And I discovered as I grew up that lots of people are still puzzled by the process and scared of dying. Like Aristotle, they think that they're going to get into that hole and it's going to be like going to a dungeon and someone throwing away the key. When I learned that Christians do not go into a hole, but they go into heaven, I rejoiced. It was a great revelation to me. No wonder there are no sad songs at Easter. And please, please don't sing any sad songs when you bury me. It's a celebration of going home. Now, as I learn more and more about the mystery and the majesty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ defied this thing called death, I learned that God gave us good news about this subject long before that triumphant day in Jerusalem. Even in the Old Testament, God made it very clear that his people do not need to fear death. One of the most stirring examples of that is found in Job in chapter 19, beginning in verse 23. Job is speaking, "Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in a rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives." Oh, I love that verse. "I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and no other. How my heart yearns within me." Hallelujah! That's not in the Bible. That's in me. Hallelujah! What a wonderful verse. That's not just a desire of a man who's longing for deliverance. That's a promise. That is a promise of God. After your skin has been destroyed, you will see God with your own eyes. You will see your Redeemer with your own eyes. Here's another Old Testament promise. Did you know that God said this to his people through the prophet Hosea? It's in chapter 13, verse 14. "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your destruction?" With that kind of promise, why would anybody fear death? Here's yet another Old Testament passage that you know very well. If there's anyone here today who does not know this passage, then let's write it in the sky. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I remember once when my two children, David and Debbie, were very young. And they were in the back seat of a car I was driving, and we were driving across a bridge. And I became aware that in the back seat, they were holding their breath until we got to the other side of the bridge. I asked them why they were doing that, and one of them told me that holding their breath while they were crossing the bridge would keep them from dying until they reached the other side. Now, I don't know who taught them that, but at that time I thought, well, that's kind of cute, and I passed it off. But in the year 2014, I read a news article that said that this superstition is very common today. And this is what happened in Portland, Oregon. A 19-year-old man by the name of Daniel Calhoun fainted while holding his breath as he drove through the Highway 26 tunnel near Portland, Oregon. His Toyota Camry drifted across the center line, and it crashed with a Ford Explorer. And then he bounced off of the walls of the tunnel, and he collided with a pickup truck. Three vehicles were totaled in the accident. Four individuals were injured. Thankfully, no one died. But Daniel Calhoun was cited for reckless driving, fourth-degree assault, and three counts of reckless endangerment. And to make this even more ridiculous, the police reported that traveling through that tunnel at the posted speed limit took 10 seconds. All of that destruction happened because of a silly superstition. He seriously thought that holding his breath in a dark tunnel was going to make him safer. The Bible says that that is just as silly as fearing the valley of the shadow of death. You know, if we were only Old Testament believers, only Old Testament believers, we could spit in the eye of death and look forward to our heavenly reward. But praise God, we are more than that. We are New Testament believers. Jesus Christ makes all the difference. There is more than enough promise in the Bible and in the New Testament to go around. And here are just some examples. Luke 12, verse 4. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who will kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death into life. One more, John 6:40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. I will raise him up at the last day. Was Jesus the only one who was resurrected from the dead in the Bible? No, there were others. But there's a huge difference. All the others died again. Only Jesus Christ remained alive forever. No, he never went back. He never went back. He even ascended into heaven before the eyes of his disciples. And he promised he would return again in the same way. Muhammad died and he was buried in Medina. Millions visit his grave there today. Buddha died and he was cremated. But they saved his tooth. And his tooth is on display in Sri Lanka in the Temple of the Tooth. You can visit it even today. It doesn't matter which founder of which religion you may be talking about. They all died and they're still dead, but not Jesus. You can also visit his tomb today and it is empty. Hallelujah. He told his disciples so many times that his tomb was going to be empty that even his Jewish opponents got nervous and they said to Pilate, you've got to do something because they might try to steal his body. And don't you just love this verse in Matthew 27 when Pilate answered, take a guard. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. And they put a seal on the tomb and they posted Roman guards by the tomb to make sure that no one could get in or out. Death, where is your sting? I'll tell you where it is. For most people, including Christians, it's not death that they fear. It's the process of dying that they fear. How many times have you ever heard of someone dying in their sleep peacefully and you think, oh Lord, please let me go that way. But all around you, you have known people who are in the process of dying or were in the process of dying through a long period of pain and suffering, slow death, and you think, oh Lord, there but for your grace go I. The process of dying can be fearsome. Let me ask you this. How old are you? Have you got a number there in your mind? Some of you can't remember. Just take a few minutes more and you'll think about it. How old are you? Just remember, get that number. Well, you have been in the process of dying for that many years, for that many days, for that many weeks and that many hours. But for all or most of those days, you've had no fear of the process of dying. For many of us, you'd say that the majority of your life, you have walked through the valley of the shadow of death and you haven't been afraid. Fear not. That is what the angel said at the birth of Jesus Christ. Fear not. That is God's message to us with words like these. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests made known to God. Brothers and sisters, God has told you everything that you need to know about death and the process of dying. He may not have told you everything you want to know, but He has shown you that no matter how difficult the process of dying may become for you, it could never reach the torment that it was for Jesus Christ, His blessed Son on that cross. Thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Jesus won the battle. His battle was with Satan over you. And He lives. And because He lives, you can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You that we are in a process of sanctification, not just of dying. We are in a process of growing, not of diminishing. We are in a process of becoming more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank You for that, Lord. And I thank You that He has defeated the greatest enemy and that we will see You face to face with our own eyes. Hallelujah. So thank You, Lord, for every day that we have in Jesus Christ. May we live it to the fullest. I pray in His name. Amen.